Warning,
this is the most important
podcast
of our lifetime.
Hello, everyone.
What is Hoppatarian?
So what is Hoppa? So when you put together Hoppatarians, what is that?
You know the thing.
They're here to awkward it up for you guys.
Which is a very interesting and beautiful mix of humanity.
Anyone has a podcast?
You're an extremist.
Shut up.
All right, let's get to it. Hey, what's happening? And welcome to the Hoppatarian Show, the number one podcast that is not associated with the World Economic Forum. Promise. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and in the comments, tell us how much you love the Hoppa ethno state. Our guest today is also not associated with the World Economic Forum, but you know who is associated with the World Economic Forum? You guessed it, Frank Stallone. He's the host of It's Too Late with Alan Mosley. It's obviously Alan Mosley. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
These are the weird things you notice, right? Like literally when you see the live button in the corner and the camera's already on, that yeah. I have to hold my sleeves down because I noticed that there's this huge farmer's tan. Right.
Yeah, I got that too. Yeah, I don't know exactly how you feel.
I don't know what to do with my hands, so I'm just gonna sit like this the rest of the show.
Yeah, for anyone that's watching, I don't know if you can also tell for me, but I have a tan that kind of goes below my eyes to right where my cheeks are at because I have sunglasses and it was hot a few days ago. It was like super hot, sun was shining out, and I had my sunglasses. Now I got a freaking tan right here, and yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when you tan, you just go from like East Asian to Southeast Asian.
Yeah, I go from clean to dirty Asian. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I don't know what the lingo is. You'll have to inform me.
Well, I don't know. It's a long story. Possibly. I don't know. You know how they always say, oh, it's a long story short, and then it's actually still a long story. It's like, come on, yes. Stop saying that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So for those who were listening, and they hear me say the World Economic Forum like 3 times. Like, why are you saying the World Economic Forum? Count how many times I say the World Economic Forum in this podcast. You'll probably be drunk and dead by the end of it. So I'm just going to put that warning out there. Big news, Alan. We're on Twitter. And about a few months ago or so, Elon Musk was saying, well, I'm going to step down from as CEO of Twitter, because I guess it was getting a lot of shit, or I don't really know 100% what that whole thing was. But then he did a poll because, you know, democracy and all that good stuff. And he did a poll. He says, whatever the results are, I'm going to abide by that result. Mm-hmm. And the result was he should step down as CEO of Twitter. So congratulations, that democracy conquers all.
Yep.
And so he made that promise, and he's bearing fruit on that promise that a new CEO is in. And so let me just share his tweet that he announced this. And it's so exciting. It's exciting news, Alan. So Elon Musk tweets, I am excited to welcome Linda Macarena, however you pronounce her last name, as the new CEO of Twitter. At Linda Yak, will focus primarily on business operations while I focus on product design and new technology. Looking forward to working with Linda to transform this platform into X, the everything app. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. X. Yeah, that's great. So what were your initial thoughts on this hire and the future of Twitter as we see it?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the whole thing about how he was doing the polls there for a while, where if they were going to change a feature, or if they were thinking about perhaps reverting some changes, or, you know, they did some polls about who to ban and unban. Remember that? They were mm-hmm. doing polls for everything. And even though obviously the polls are not exactly scientific, because I mean, he himself knows there was a ton of bot spam on Twitter. He of all people knows that. It was still an interesting phenomenon, but isn't it kind of weird that of all the polls he did, they did not do a poll for this? Now, sure, he did a poll for himself, stepping down as CEO. But I assume, maybe you know what that means when you assume, but I assume he interviewed more than just this one person. So let's just say hypothetically he interviewed three or four different people of reasonable corporate America qualifications, but perhaps one or two of them are not in bed with the lizard people and one or two of them were. He didn't do a poll for that. So I'm not saying that that was necessarily ever on the table. I find that interesting that of all the polls that were done, they didn't do one for this. Because I think if he had done one, as soon as people saw that aspect about her career, she would have got shit on.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I didn't even think about that until you just mentioned that. That I guess he could have done a poll of, hey, here are some of the people that I'm considering as becoming the new CEO. And here are the four names. Which one do you think would be the best fit? Mm-hmm. But no, he didn't do that. Like you just said, and he just said, oh, by the way, I just hired this lady. I never heard of this lady until he just announced that this is the new CEO. She just, I guess now she gets to be a part of the, so I guess some of it was, she's going to help with advertising or something like that to get some, to try to get some money into Twitter or whatever. Like Twitter has, I don't know how much money Twitter is worth, mm-hmm. but it's probably a lot. Wouldn't you say? It's probably generalizing that whole thing.
Well, because this is actually a really interesting topic. And I know everybody's really hung up on the whole, oh, she has a history with the World Economic Forum, rah, 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 rah. Look, I totally get that, by the way. Mm-hmm. And that's not all for her either. She's got a long history of being pro censorship, pro lockdown, pro mandate, pro, you know, she's pro a lot of things we hate and anti anything we like. So there's a lot of red flags to say the least, but I honestly haven't even looked at that. Some of the things that I've looked at the most are just kind of taking a step back and looking at the big picture things. So like here's a, for instance, we know Elon Musk overpaid for Twitter. Like purely from a business perspective, he overpaid for it. Remember that whole controversy where he made an offer on it, and then when they agreed in principle on the terms, then all this stuff started to come out about, well, it turns out their numbers were way down. It turns out that their purported user base was heavily inflated because a very notable percentage of that was bots. And so, and then Twitter stock tanked. Like when some of this negative feed came out, Twitter stock price started bombing. Mm-hmm. And so naturally when that happened, Elon Musk, I'm not sure he necessarily wanted to get out of the deal in the sense of never buy Twitter. But I think his opinion was, well, you know, my offer of whatever crazy number it was, like, I forget what the number was now, like $50 or $60 billion or whatever it was. I feel like a lot of people would agree. He basically paid double what the platform was actually worth. If all that stuff had come out in the news and the stock price had tanked and then Elon Musk showed up and said, I'd like to buy this, it would have been totally different scenario. So when you combine, I hate to be so long-winded about it, about the dollars and cents, but when you combine that, let's be honest, he overpaid, you know, like he bought a house in 2006 for double what it was worth. And then the market crashed.
Hmm.
And then I think it's taken him longer than he initially thought it would to kind of circle the wagons, cut out some of the rot, you know, streamline some of the work processes. Of course, there's that whole thing of, you know, charging people for blue checks. And I think they've gotten a reasonable amount of subscriptions from it. But I think getting regular Joes to buy $8 subscription services has not made up for the huge amount of big advertisers that left the platform. And you and I might think, bye, Felicia. You know, it's easy for us sitting here to say, well, I don't care what CNN does. I just assumed they'd be gone. It's easy for us to say that. We'd have a different opinion if that meant we just lost like half of our revenue overnight. So I think that it has been slower going than he thought it would be, on top of he overpaid. And so I think that financial decisions are forcing him to make moves that either you wouldn't make at all, or it's hard to say, like, not doing your due diligence or whatever, because Elon Musk is a smart person. Like, he wouldn't be where he is without being a bright fellow. And that doesn't mean he knows everything.
Right.
But he's a pretty smart guy. So again, it's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, he's making a huge mistake. Maybe he knows something I don't. I'm sure he does. But it certainly seems on the surface to be a bad decision. But I think it's a bad decision motivated by the fact that he's got to get financially back on top of this thing first before he can think about medium and long-term strategy with the platform.
So you think he's trying to gain the money, or at least a lot of the money that he lost, or that the company lost when that initial buying of the company? Mm-hmm. Do you think this is part of it, or all of it?
Because wasn't she working some high level management gig with like NBC Universal or something like that? Like that was her actual day job recently, and she's resigned from there to come be like the CEO of Twitter. Which, I mean, you know, good for her or whatever. I'd take that job. I'm sure it'll pay well. So I think purely in a vacuum, without looking at the history, without looking at the politics and all that, if you just said, well, we're going to take this upper management person, this board person from NBC Universal, we're going to plug them into Twitter, and their primary focus is going to be, don't touch the actual platform itself. You're not a tech person. It's not stay in your lane. You're just going to try to right the ship from a corporate public relations standpoint. I don't think, like, I get it. I get the idea. It's just, can this person do that job without interjecting the politics? Well, history would seem to indicate the answer is no. But I mean, who knows? Maybe she does. Maybe she comes in and she's a fantastic face for the franchise and leaves the politics at the door. Again, you would think, Elon being Elon, you would think that that's like question number one is, can you take this role while leaving your politics at the door? If you can't, I'll fire you the next day. But again, there may be things that we don't know. But my default position is, I'm not as big of a doom and gloomer as a lot of people are. But my default position is that what about these people have we learned from the last few years that would lead you to believe that they can just do their job, you know, just look at the dollars and cents. I don't believe that.
Yeah. I've seen pictures where, you know, a lot of the things that she's obviously believes in, whatever she believes, and there's pictures of her with the pussy hat on or something like this. Oh, well, there you go. Now we know exactly where she's aligning in the political spectrum. Now I've seen people on Twitter where it's all about balancing the whole thing. Like, we don't want Twitter to just be a right-wing thing or a left-wing thing. We want it to be for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is going to help or if it's going to hurt that, because I'm sure she knows now that she's the CEO, there's a lot of people who they see those, you know, being with NBC Universal, being with the WEF, they see those affiliations that she has. They're going to be tweeting at her a lot. She better silence those notifications if she don't want to see people calling her names and stuff, because she's going to be getting that a lot now. I mean, Elon Musk was getting that too about when he was starting out with this whole Twitter venture. And I mean, he was even doing polls about, what do you think about this? Do you think I should do this? Do you think it should be that? Or even just tweeting out, hey, this new thing's going to be coming out in a couple months. Let me know what you think. And people would tell him, hey, this thing sucks, or I think this is a good idea. Now, there's people too that no matter what Elon says, especially since he bought Twitter, no matter what he says or does, oh, Elon, yes, 100% agree. This lady's a new CEO, a perfect choice, perfect hire, Elon. Everything you're doing is so awesome. Let me kiss your ring. This is great. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people are just going to leave Twitter because of this. People are just going to keep, they're going to complain. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a week later, they're just going to move on and, you know, business as usual. Who knows?
Well, I saw somebody bring up the good point too, that it was just like 24 or 48 hours ago or whatever it was that Tucker Carlson made that video on Twitter saying that he's basically going to take his show to Twitter. It's just going to be exclusively uploaded to that platform.
So she has to know then that Tucker Carlson is taking his show. The main platform is Twitter. It's not Fox anymore or any. He's not doing a podcast. It's on Twitter. So she has to know. Okay, so maybe that was one of the things that Elon says. Hey, I have this partnership with Tucker. I don't want you to fuck with that. Are you okay with that? I know you probably don't agree with everything he says, but are you okay with this being a part of the platform? And so I don't know.
Well, and I think that Elon's official position is that he doesn't have any partnership with Tucker Carlson. It's just I'm going to treat him the way I would treat any content creator, which means he's welcome. He's welcome on this platform. So I mean, that's an interesting thing to go look up, right? Like I'm not the type of person that combs through people's social media, but I would love to see if you could find any comment from her where she says Tucker Carlson is, you know, a hate speech advocate and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Because that's going to be something that people are going to be asking questions about on day one. But even just like you bring it up, just Elon Musk, just talking about Elon Musk in a vacuum, he is left wing. Like Elon Musk is a left wing individual. He is a leftist. Now the people on the far left hate him because he's not a left wing extremist. He's not extreme enough left wing for them. So they think he's a literal Nazi, but he is left wing. And of course, right wing people love him because he said a few bad things about some left wing people, but that's, you know, but of course, this is one of those who's worse in this scenario. Is the far left worse because they shit on Elon Musk, even though he is a leftist? Or are the right wingers worse because they worship a leftist who's just not as far left?
And I'm pretty sure he tweeted or he said something at a conference or some kind of speech or whatever, where he said, yeah, I'm probably going to do some things that the left wingers are not going to like, and I'm going to piss off some right wingers when I do something at Twitter. So maybe this is one of the things that he's done that's going to piss off, because it's a lot more right wingers who are not happy with this than the left. Because like a week ago, Elon Musk was the worst person in the world. Now, oh hey, WEF, oh cool, hey, this is a woman's the CEO of Twitter. Oh, congratulations, Elon, this is awesome. Diversity hire, woohoo.
Now, I will say this, though. I don't know why this just popped into my head. I guess it's the post-libertarians that are influencing me. You know that there's that Conquest Second Law, which is any organization that is not explicitly right-wing will become left-wing. Twitter. I mean, it's easy for us to sit here and say that, well, ever since Elon Musk took over Twitter, things have been better. If you told me the day before that announcement, what would be one huge bombshell that you could drop that would make you think that the Twitter experiment was dead and it was going to go right back to where it was under Jack? I would say, I don't know, replace him with someone from the World Economic Forum. Well, I mean, here we are. But I mean, again, it's worse in a weird sort of way because it was his choice. He did.
Yeah. And I mean, it could have been, I don't know if easier is the right word, but like we were mentioning before, or at least that you mentioned first, where he could have done a poll on this. And maybe if she was one of the choices and she won, then there you go. Lean into that. If you're all about democracy or whatever, hey, more people voted for you, so here you go. You're the new CEO. But if she did, like, I don't know. I can't even think of any other names that would have even been in this. Because again, like I said before, I never heard of this bitch. Like, who is this lady? I don't know. I've never heard of her.
Well, see, this is where you start going down the rabbit hole, right? Because you start to think to yourself, well, they did all these polls. Why didn't they do a poll about this? And then you think, well, maybe he explicitly didn't do a poll on this because he knew it wouldn't be popular. Yeah. And then it's like, well, if he knew it wouldn't be popular, then why did you do it? Like, you must have a really good reason. And that's so then it ultimately boils down to, do you genuinely think that there is any reason good enough that for him to make that decision, knowing that it would be unpopular, but believing it to be wise? Or is there no explanation that's good enough? He just flat out made a mistake. I mean, there's even been some people that have brought up the idea that, I mean, maybe that was part and parcel with the whole deal. Maybe it was, well, we're not going to get into litigation over you trying to get out of your purchase of Twitter at a certain price point. But you know, you're going to bring in, you know, you're going to bring in some hand-picked person. Right. And that's the thing about the WEF too. It's like, on the one hand, there's lots of people that have in some fashion been involved with the World Economic Forum. Right. On the other hand, it's not like, you know, it's not like the number of people who have gone to Walmart or something. It's not that many people, but then you can't help but raise an eyebrow when you see that popping up in the resumes of people being put handpicked for positions over and over and over and over again. So it's like, this just can't been a mistake. So I don't know, even myself, like even as I'm sitting here discussing it with you, I'm waffling back and forth between, well, maybe he's using his finer judgment and there's things that he knows that we don't, or maybe he really fucked up. I mean, or maybe that's what he always had in mind. And all of us are the ones who are naive. Who knows?
He's been trolling us this whole time. And Elon Musk, what a troll.
Well, even take Jack, for instance. Like, there were some people who thought he was a leftist, but he wasn't as bad as some of the extreme ones. Yeah. Some people tried to give him a pat on the back for kind of doing some introspection and realizing that Twitter became something he didn't intend for it to be. Mm-hmm. Like, once upon a time, it was just a platform, and then it became this politically charged machine for one particular side of the aisle. And he had made some public comments saying that that was not his intent, and he thinks that that was a bad thing. But on the other hand, but you still did it. So it's kind of like, you know, just because you're making a deathbed confession doesn't mean that all the terrible things you did magically go away or that you're forgiven for it. It just means you realize your mistakes. But keep in mind, though, that same Jack who had all those realizations about Twitter having gone the wrong direction under his watch has also said that Elon Musk is bad for Twitter. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I tend to err on the side of it was fun while it lasted, but you're going to start to see more throttling, more shadow banning, more explicit banning, because I think at the end of the day, because I'll end with this point. If the main reason for her to come in was to not touch the platform, but to bring in the money, there's going to be a day in the near future where she's going to be sitting here with a contract from Joe Bob Mega Mart,
right?
And it's going to be for $100 million or whatever kind of money. And there's going to be in Mega Mart's lawyers are going to put a clause in there that says, and oh, by the way, we don't want this crap associated with our brand. And Elon Musk is going to have to sign off on a yes or no. Are we going to start blocking these things or do we want their money? And if the answer is we want the money, then that means you go away if you're doing the things they don't like. So it's a business. I mean, it'd be no different than you or me. I mean, if you had someone that wanted to sponsor your show right now and give you an attractive sum of money, but they said, hey, but we don't want any, no more of this racial slurs on the program, then that's the end of me. I never come back. I'm gone forever. Just like that.
Damn it.
Yeah. Well,
that's not going to happen. And then 5 years later, hey, I remember what he said.
Yeah. 5 years later, you're going to do an in memoriam for me and be black and white. And
But so that was something that I was going to jump in was someone had said, well, there's, you know, oh, here we go with the shadow banning and all that other stuff. And Elon's like, that's not going to happen. It's like, okay, well, people are going to be screenshotting that tweet. And if there's going to be some of that stuff happening, hey, Elon, you said this was going to happen, but look, it's still happening. So what's the deal here? And I think a lot of people who were kind of more on his side before all this, and then they see this hire and they go, "What was I like? Was this all a trick? Like, I don't really know if I can trust." I mean, there are people who were asking him questions and then he'd answer and like, okay, well, I trust your judgment. I'm going to kind of keep my mind open on this. But if I see something or you do something that I don't like, I'm going to let you know about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but we'll see. So I was also going to watch this video that is kind of relevant to this, where I think it was some kind of conference. I'm not really 100% sure what it was, but so this was tweeted from Clint Russell of Liberty Lockdown. Shout out to Clint. So he tweeted, "This is a woke struggle session. Very, very, very bad news that Elon would experience this and then hire this person as CEO. Now, again, this is Clint's tweet. This is his opinion. Again, like you were saying, we don't know. We're kind of just looking at it from the outside looking in. We don't really know 100% what the whole deal is, what's in his mind, why Elon decided to hire her. But anyway, we can watch this video and then we can kind of react and go from there.
So you've got a massive platform. You have a vision.
Yeah.
That is a spectrum of just daily open sourced conversation. And they can conduct their lives, their business, their commerce, whatever they can do on your platform. That's a pretty big vision. But in the middle should be advertising opportunity. That sounds like a great opportunity. I can talk about my brand. Mm-hmm. I can get my customers to communicate. And then they could also buy stuff. That sounds pretty good, right?
You'll be able to buy things just directly on Twitter. One click, boom, done.
But they need to feel that there is an opportunity for them to influence what you're building, that vision. What we're doing here, whether it's me trying to push and prod you on your tweets. For example, you've said you probably shouldn't tweet after 3 a.m.
Well, I've got myself
probably good
into,
advice for all of us.
I've gotten myself into trouble a few times.
I'm very aware of those. So after 3 a.m., you travel all over the world. Lord knows how you handle time zones in space. Will you commit to be a little more specific and not tweet after 3 a.m.? People in this room would like to see that. It'll make them feel more confident.
I will aspire to tweet less after 3 a.m. But, I mean, it is important that, you know, I mean, if I were to say, yes, you can influence me, that would be wrong. That would be very wrong. Because that would be a diminishment of freedom of speech.
But I want to be specific about influencing. It's more of an open feedback loop for the advertising experts in this room to help develop Twitter into a place where they will be excited about investing more money. Product development, ad safety, content moderation. That's what the influence is.
Yeah, I think... it's totally cool to say that you want to have your advertising appear in certain places in Twitter and not in other places. But it is not cool to try to say what Twitter will do. And if that means losing advertising dollars, we lose it. But freedom of speech is paramount.
So, Twitter 1.0 had a very well-populated, much-loved influence council. I know I don't, I think we need to change the name. Elon does not want to be influenced. But it was really a recurring feedback loop from your key stakeholders, your advertisers, where they had recurring access or would have recurring access to you. Would you commit from this stage today to reinstate that council to be named later?
Well, I don't think it should be influence council. I would be wary of that creating a backlash among the public, because if the public thinks that you know their views are being determined by you know a small number of CMOs in America, they will be like, I think, upset about that. But feedback, I think, is appropriate.
So what are your initial thoughts on that?
So it's weird because in the context, I saw some of the conversations that they had in the past because they were not strangers to each other, which is probably part of the reason why things have wound up the way they were.
They seem pretty comfortable with each other.
Yeah. And you know, again, hopefully there is things going on that we don't know and that there's a good relationship there. However, what I would say is I don't necessarily think it's as doom and gloom just from that video, the way Clint would try to paint it. However, you can just tell that there's this huge fundamental disconnect between the idea of Twitter being just a commons, a public space where you and I and just literally hundreds of millions of billions. I don't know. Hundreds of millions of just people are in a coexistence versus advertisers and influencers and that sort of thing. Because if, because her position is that, well, they should be able to literally with a guiding hand move Twitter in one direction or another to shape it, essentially shape it in their image, and the people have to kind of coalesce around that image, as opposed to the principle of, well, the people are just here and there's no changing them. You're not influencing them at all. It's just the body. Mm-hmm. And you as an advertiser, you as a business that's selling widgets, you have to meet the people, the phrase meeting people where they are.
Yeah.
That generally speaking, the businesses have to go to where the people are with their wares and say, this is what I have. Let me sell this to you. They want to end it around the other way, which is we control this whole center. It's kind of like you might have seen in the news, what was it, China or Japan or wherever it was, where they were playing around with having like the mass of drones in the sky that can create billboards in the sky and stuff, and like they are literally blocking out the stars with advertisements. Oh, yeah. In certain cities and stuff now. So it's like it kind of makes me think of that, where instead of you going to like, so I guess instead of them coming to you and trying to sell you on something or not. Hmm. It's your, now when you go to Twitter, it's the mall, and you're like in the gun-free zone being watched by security, and you're being bombarded. Yeah. With billboards and stuff. And so it fundamentally, it comes down to are the people ultimately the ones that are driving that engine for better or worse? Or is there going to be this elite cabal of special interest that are going to do that? I think most people listening probably tend to err on the side of, for better or worse, I would rather the people as an entire body be the driving force rather than some shadowy cabal of elites. And the other thing is too, by the way, just as we discussed just minutes ago about the whole Robert Conquist second law of, if it not being explicitly right wing, it's left wing. Yeah. Every single major brand that she's talking about is infested with leftists. Every single one of their ad departments, every single one of their HR departments are infested with leftists. They all have DEI mixed in with their internal politics. Every major industry, you know, Hollywood, media, everything, all controlled by leftists. So with that in the back of your mind, since all of these major bodies of the world at large have their managerial positions run by leftists, if managers from these different companies come in to influence Twitter, is it going left or right? It's going left. I mean, it just is. I mean, it's not a matter of whether any one person would want it that way. It will. It's just what's going to happen. So I think that Elon was right. I mean, I at least like what he had to say, which is, you know, we'd be willing to walk away from some advertising dollars if it meant sacrificing on our principles on this matter. The problem is that, of course, that video is old. That video was from sometime like a year or two ago, long before this recent announcement. I think with announcing that woman as the new CEO, that's him walking that back.
Yeah, I think like him saying that, oh yeah, freedom of speech is paramount. You know, now that you own Twitter, and it's arguably like the biggest place that people go to kind of share their thoughts,
yeah,
or whatever they want to do on there. Okay, well, if you think that, then one of the alarm bells that came off, like pretty much the first few weeks of him being the owner or about to be the owner, was about Alex Jones and him saying, no, I'm not gonna reinstate Alex Jones because personally, I had a personal kind of connection to the whole Sandy Hook thing.
Yes.
But Alex Jones, he's apologized, I mean, how many times about that? Oh, you know, I was wrong, I had bad information, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not good enough for Elon. And again, agree with Alex Jones about that or not, whatever. But I thought you said, I thought you said freedom of speech was paramount. And yeah. I know this was before he tweeted that. I get that. But you can't just be saying stuff like that and then hire someone that is pro censorship and pro a lot of the things that we're not pro vaccine or whatever. So like, you're sending mixed signals, man. Like, you're sending very, it's about a balancing act where you're sending some balanced signals. Are either you for this or are you not? So
yeah,
when you do something like this, where even just hiring somebody like this lady, people are going to be looking at you like, are you really who you say you are? I'm not really sure how to, because there's a lot of people on Twitter who are probably looking at this thinking, I mean, I saw some people be like, I have canceled my Twitter Blue subscription. I am not giving you any of my money. No more of my money. Nope. After this. Well, here you are losing money, and freedom of speech is important. So I don't know. Are you saying that her freedom of speech is also important if she wants to censor somebody? Hey, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of weird signals that he's sending. So, you know, again, yeah. I think Elon, a lot of things that he's done for Twitter are definitely interesting, and they're definitely different than what was going on when Jack was the guy. But yeah, like you were saying, this Twitter was never a right wing space. It was It's not like, it wasn't like a Gab or anything like that. I mean, I don't even know if Gab's right wing. Who the fuck knows? I don't go on a Gab. I have no idea. But Twitter was never seen as this. Oh man. Conservatives can say whatever they want. A white nationalist can say whatever they want, but they always had. Now they have to be afraid of even tweet. Oh, if I spell out fag. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I didn't mean to. But a left wing person can go, you know what? I'm okay with a 4-year old getting his dick chopped off. That's totally fine on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay, well, see, here's the thing. Like, I remember being a young musician and being surrounded by other young musicians who would always, you hear that phrase, you know, talk about like people making fun of people for being sellouts of, mm-hmm. I don't listen to so-and-so's music anymore. They sold out. They did all these pop ballads for the radio, and I would never do that. I would only play my music. And if the labels don't like it, they could just shove it. You know what? The people who say that they wouldn't sell out are the people who have never been offered money before.
Yeah.
Because anyone who has ever been offered a check with more zeros on it than you've ever had in your bank account before, it gives you a little bit different perspective on what's selling out, right? Like then you start to convince yourself.
It usually means that person is making a lot more money than me. Emphasis on a lot.
Yes, exactly. So again, I really want to emphasize to like if anyone takes away anything from my perspective on this whole Elon and the new CEO, like Yaka Reno or whatever, whatever her name was, is I think it was much more of a money thing than it was. Like, I don't, man, I could be wrong too. And it actually is way, way, way worse than any of us could ever possibly comprehend. I'm not happy about it, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't like, none of this is me playing devil's advocate necessarily to excuse the decision. I don't think it was a good decision.
No, this is the greatest decision that Elon Musk has ever made. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Alan? I'm just saying, I think it was motivated primarily by financial reasons and you know, at the end, and of course, then, like, let's fast forward 3 years. If she's still the CEO in 3 years and Elon Musk still owns Twitter in 3 years and Twitter has regressed and it's not as good of a platform as you would like, but it's making more money, does that mean he's succeeded or failed? Person's metric on the inside, they would say they succeeded. Like, imagine he takes the company public again and they've got shareholders. If he makes the shareholders money, he succeeded. And in the literal sense of the term. So it may not be what you or I would like, or some other there's all manner of right-wing groups who were telling journalists to learn to code. Remember that whole phenomenon? And then when Elon Musk took over and some people did get their accounts unbanned, and this was kind of like right at the tail end of the COVID stuff. And so people who had banned explicitly for that type of content were allowed to come back, and everyone was cheering and patting themselves on the back and all that stuff. I'm not saying that he would necessarily let it go so far as to just revert all the good things that have happened since then, but it's, you know, at the end of the day, the really tough thing is that if it ends up not being a platform that you like, and there's always going to be that random naysayer that says, well, just go build your own, right? Well, Elon Musk didn't even build his own. He bought one. Because it's really, really hard to do that. And it's especially really hard to do that when you live in the environment we live in the regulatory state that we live in, when you're talking about tens of billions or even hundreds of billions of dollars in these mega corporations, and the massive amount of special interests that throws their weight around. And it seems like every 6 months to a year, there's some new bill being proposed by the House or the Senate to continue to regulate social media or the internet more broadly. So with those threats just constantly at the doorstep, not even someone that's as big of a genius as Elon Musk would dare manage to build his own. He just bought one and tried to make it into his image. And again, to be frank, he paid quite a price to do that. Now he could afford it, but I mean, even then, well, what do you mean he could afford it? He could afford it in the sense of he made the sale or he made the purchase, but he has a lot less money than he did a couple of years ago. So I think he's making decisions trying to refill the coffers. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think you made a good point about how. Like and a good question about how this is probably all just a financial decision. And I mean, at the end of the day, when you own a company, the whole point is to make money, because if it doesn't make money, bye, your company is no more alive. There's no more company. So yeah, I mean, it can get dicey. It can be some muddy waters, as you can say, but that's the whole point. When you have a company, you want to make money because that's your livelihood, especially for a small business. That's their whole livelihood, is just to make money. Now, if it's something as big as Twitter, and Elon Musk has, I don't know how much money, but he's definitely got more money than both of us could. I don't know how many thousand times over.
But. Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, you're right. He does have more money than both of us combined. That's so much money, you guys.
I know. I can't even comprehend.
But, oh my god.
But I mean, I don't know. I think that's probably what it was that it was just a financial decision. So yeah, I don't.
Well, whether it's Disney or Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light or whoever it is, at the end of the day, when they make decisions that don't sit well with their customer base and then it results in them losing money, That's about all you can hope for, because we don't have any controlling stake in any of these companies to influence them in any meaningful sense. All you can do is actively root for them to lose money when they make decisions that you don't appreciate. You can personally not give them any money of your own, and then you can look forward to watching their stock plummet when they continue to make poor choices. And then you can just cross your fingers. One of two things happens. Either they get the message that the market is sending them and they change course, or they go belly up. I mean, that's because what else is there? There's no other options here. I mean, it's not feasible. Like, we're not going to go make our own Disney. I don't have the billions to go buy Star Wars off of George Lucas.
Right.
I can't start my own global breweries. I'm not going to compete with Budweiser. I can't do any of these things. All I can do is hope that they change course or get destroyed by their own competition. Twitter is kind of in the unique place where, with cable news and stuff being just absolutely trashed nowadays, and for good reason. And I mean, and Meta, Zuckerberg poured a lot into the whole metaverse concept right in the in the age of the pandemic, and it tanked. They lost a lot of money on that. And so Twitter is kind of like sitting at the king of the hill right now, right? Like they're on top. If the decisions that he's making ultimately are really, really bad ones and they lose a lot of money, he'll only have himself to blame. Yeah. And either he'll change course or he won't. But that'll be an interesting question for you to leave your viewers with, which is, if they ultimately make decisions that make you personally decide this is no longer for me, but they're still there 5 years from now with more money than ever before. It wasn't really, maybe it just wasn't the place for you. I don't know. I mean, there's some uncomfortable questions to ask there.
Yeah. And I was just going to mention about the people who say, well, just build your own. And then Elon Musk ended up buying it. It's like, well, what do you really mean when you say just build your own? Like, do you really mean that? Or are you just saying that because you're just trying to like get them to back off or something? I mean, like not every single person can just go build their own Twitter. Like I gotta learn coding and programming and all these other different languages. Like, how the fuck am I gonna start? Oh shit, okay, I gotta start. Let me go online. Let me just type it up. Oh, I could watch a YouTube video on how to make my own Twitter. All right, this is awesome. There's gonna be thousands of places to go. But there's like, you know, there's Minds and there's Gab and there's Getter, if that's still a thing, Getter, Truth Social, if people are even on that. Only Donald Trump is on Truth Social. He's the only person I ever see on there. Everyone else is just, you know, saying, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that one that like everybody, all the MAGA people went to, but then it's already gone out of business? You know the one I'm talking about? Like their CEO.
Parler.
Yeah. Parler. Well, see, that's an excellent point, is that the alternatives already exist. But here's, you know, I mean, this is business 101, is you already had alternatives and you already had that, you know, 1%, 2%, whatever of Twitter's total audience said, well, we're going to jump ship because we hate the policies here. And this is our new platform with blackjack and hookers. And at the end of the day, is there anything wrong with them making their own platform? Of course not. Right. Is there any wrong with them making their own platform that's for their own niche audience? Of course not. But I know Minds is still, I think Float's dead now, but I think Minds is still around, and there might be one or two other ones that are still around. But at the end of the day, like, let's be honest with ourselves. They're certainly no realistic competition to Facebook or Twitter. And they're way more likely to go out of business tomorrow than they are to ever grow exponentially beyond where they are now. And at the end of the day, it's because they valued having a platform that reflected their vision, that was a safe space, because just to use the word to trigger those people, that it's a safe space for their niche audience. Again, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But it fails for the same reason as having a libertarian podcast does, which is, even if you're the best damn libertarian podcast there is, you can't make any money from advertisers because the advertisers know your audience is 17 people.
I was just going to say, you're way down the toting pole still.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. Whereas with Twitter, for all the things you might hate about it, and oh, all the leftists are there, and oh, the New York Times is there, and they're writing about how we're all terrorists and extremists. Yeah, well, you know what? Their advertisers are still there because they're still like, whatever, there is a billion people on the platform. If your platform had a billion people using the policies you have, then you would get the advertising dollars too, because it wasn't really about the policies. It was about the audience. You don't have the audience. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's like I said, there's some uncomfortable, it kind of strikes at the whole concept of a free market. Like, not just a free market in the economic sense, but you hear people talk about that free market of ideas. Now, that's something that in recent years, I totally reject. There's no such thing as a free market of ideas. The people who still hold on to this idea that, oh, well, we'll just tell everybody our great ideas, and we'll just let those ideas battle it out in the public sphere, and may the best man win. Well, you know what? The best man did win. It's Bud Light with that dude on it. That was the best idea that won. I hate to tell you, but they won. Are you on the can? I'm not on the can.
Hey, if I was on the can, Bud Light's the best.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, But I mean, and that's that. Like I said, I mentioned that earlier, is that at the end of the day, it's easy for us to judge these people in our fun conversations that we have. But if you or I were confronted right now with even a fraction of a percent of the type of money that that lady was hired to bring in, and the caveat was, oh, we need you to change the name of your show to this, and you need to run these breaks, and you're not going to say these words, you're never going to mention these topics, it's so easy for me to say, oh, well, you take a hike, lady. No, come on. How many zeros are on that check before you say, yes, ma'am? Let's just be honest with ourselves.
And just real quick, before we get to the thing that's completely off topic of this, but when you're talking about the free market, or yeah, the free market of ideas, I can't even say the saying because it's so dumb. The free market of ideas, everybody just wants that idea to be what it is, automatic 100. They don't want to grow it from 1 to 100. They want it to be right at the top. You know, they're not a process type of person. They're just a finish line. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm definitely guilty of this. Oh man, I just want it to be done right now. I want my idea to be out right now. I want everyone to believe what I believe in right now. But that's not how it is in the real world. Not everyone's just going to be like, oh, you know what? You are right. The Federal Reserve is a crock of shit. You're right.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the Federal Reserve, like, what? Where's the Federal Reserve? Oh, it's in D.C.? Well, I live in fucking Georgia. What are you talking about? I don't know where. What?
Yeah.
I don't see it. What are you talking about?
Well, that's one of the, you know, I write for the 10th Amendment Center, one of my 17 jobs I have, because the world that our parents grew up in, where you get, you know, a part-time job making widgets and then you can buy $500,000 house, that world doesn't exist anymore. But I write for the 10th Amendment Center, and that's one of the biggest criticisms they get. They will have these, whether it's a boomer or whether it's one of these Lawbert types who will say, well, we're looking at this bill. We think that this bill moves the needle in the right direction in this particular state. And then you'll have these people that'll come in and say, well, that's still not good enough, because really what should happen is we should abolish X, Y, and Z at the federal level. And then you don't have to do this. And it's like, yeah, but that's not on the table.
If you want to go abolish it, then get some dynamite and blow it the fuck up.
Ha ha ha! Good joke. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. See, I'm trying to help you get some more sponsors here, and you go and say shit like that.
But that's what the mentality is. It is, if you don't abolish it, then yeah, it's like, yeah, I agree. I don't want it to be around, but yeah, it's not gonna go snap of a finger like Thanos. Oh shit! Half of it's all gone now. No, it's not. That's why it's fucking fiction. It's not gonna happen tomorrow.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. And by the way, I do love to trigger people by doing something similar to that. Is that when people say to me, oh yeah, man, DC, it's all run by nothing but just like murderers and pedophiles. And I'm like, oh my God, really? You should go up there and kill them all. Do it, dude. Just go up there and shoot them all. You're morally in the right.
Just create your manifesto. I'm like, oh man, you're gonna be the next Ted Kaczynski. You're awesome.
Yeah. I'll help you weld the bulldozer. Let's make it happen. Yeah. And they never take me up on the offer, though. Imagine that.
And Uncle Ted, you know, he's, you know, thumbs up and all that good stuff. But, you know, I don't know. It's so ridiculous sometimes, some of the things where you just go, oh, man, we're going from 0 to 100 real quick, like the Drake song, real fucking quick. Like, okay.
Well, it's the duality of man, that they won't go to that extreme despite having such a negative opinion of the powers that be. But when you try to do something that's at least 1% towards that, they want to shit on you.
Yeah. All right. So like I said, I'm going to completely halt this conversation. I'm going to step on the brakes here. And this weird news story is brought to you by me, and it's in your neck of the woods, Alan. This is where you live, around this area.
Okay.
So, and I'm this is going to be great for you. So the headline is, hotel manager in Nashville charged with sucking on sleeping guests' toes. Now, does this have anything to do with Elon Musk hiring that lady CEO of Twitter? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. If I had known this was going on, it would have been easier for me to sell tickets to the event.
Look at this guy. I mean, come on. Yeah. Look at this guy. Does this guy look like he sucks on toes? I mean, come on.
It makes you wonder how long he got away with it before he got caught, right?
All right, so a hotel manager in Nashville is facing charges after a guest woke up to find him sucking on his toes, police said. Oh, the police. Ugh, they're probably lying about the story. Mm-hmm. The alleged assault happened around 5 a.m., March 30th, inside a Hilton hotel at 121 4th Avenue South in Nashville. So I'm doxing this hotel. Police said David Neal, 52, a night manager at the hotel, made a key card so he could he made his own key card. Hey, there you go. Mm-hmm. So he could enter the guest room. The guest said he woke up to find Neal sucking on his toes. So he immediately confronted him. I don't know. He just liked your toes. It probably tastes like chocolate or something. He recognized Neal as one of two workers who had come into his room the day before to fix the television. Neal admitted to police that he had entered the room, but he claimed it was because he smelled smoke. Good one. Good story. He didn't report the smoke to security, and there were no other reports about the smell, authorities said. When officers asked Neal where the room key was, he said he had thrown it away. The key was not found. Neal was taken into custody Friday, May 5th, at his home in Lebanon, Tennessee. He is charged with aggravated burglary and assault. He's being held on $27,000 bond. So if you can find that key, there you go. There's some treasure. Go look around in that area.
All right. I just, you know, what's crazy to me is that this tells you where my brain is that story doesn't even move the needle for me. I'm not surprised about it at all. The only thing that stood out to me in that whole story was that as I'm sure you know, and you're just gaslighting me, there is no place called Lebanon in the state of Tennessee. It's Lebanon.
Oh, so I said it right the first time.
You said it right the first time. I was like, wow, you are a Southerner after all. And then you turned it into something. I mean,
just in case someone was like, that's not how you say it. That's not how you pronounce it.
No, it's Lebanon.
I'm balancing it. I'm doing a balancing act. You know, I'm trying to placate the both sides.
Yeah. That's why they pay you the big bucks. Is you're going to be the guy that figures out a way to bring the right and the left together.
I'm sure a lot of the right will love that. Yeah, I'm sure they want to be completely with their left. Yeah, my neighbor's a left winger. Oh, get him the fuck out of the neighborhood then.
Yeah, which I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, where I'm from, we still kind of believe in segregation. So
how dare you?
That's not even a big sell for us. But see, I mean, I believe in segregation too. But I'm not saying like round up all the people that are different races and put them in different parts of town. I'm just saying like find all the leftists and the commies and. You know.
All right. Well, we'll end it on that lovely note on a guy sucking on someone's.
What
toes.
A weird ass story to end the show. What's wrong with you?
I try my best.
Okay.
Only for you, Alan.
I guess it was an improvement over telling the audience to get some dynamite and blow up things and stuff.
You know what? I'm gonna cut everything after that. That's the last part of the that's it right there. I'm gonna cut it. Cut that part out. Anyway, Alan, let people know where they can find you and your show and all that good stuff.
Oh, Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern time is new episodes of It's Too Late with Alan Mosley. We're finishing up season 5 of the show right now, which you can get on, you go to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Odyssey, everywhere by going to Alan Mosley TV, alanmosley.tv. And then of course it's on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all that the following day. And also don't forget, if you're anywhere near the Southeast and you can come hang out with us at our annual, the 5th annual It's Too Late Live event. It's coming up June 3rd, but tickets are limited. There's only a few spots left. I've actually already paid the bill. So this is as depressed as you're ever going to see me. I just paid the bill for the annual event. But of course, you guys know that you're welcome. But I think once we get about 5 more people, everyone else has to just kind of circle the parking lot and wait until some people leave, and then you can come in and sit down. But it's fun. I'm thankful that we may not have the most people, but we have the best people. It's the right kind of degenerate that doesn't walk around talking about Rothbard all day. They talk about things like, is a hot dog a sandwich? So if that appeals to you, come to the live event, Alan Mosley TV. You can even go back and watch our entire library of old episodes where you'll see, hold on, got to point the right direction. You see that guy right there on it just a couple weeks ago. You were on right before Scott Horton, by the way.
Oh, I was just a lead in.
Yeah, exactly.
I was the pre-show for that one. Mm-hmm. Well, again, thanks, Alan, for coming on, and we'll try and make it to one of those shows. It won't be this year, unfortunately, but we'll definitely try, because I do want to go there at some point. That's definitely something that I want to do with my life. Before I die, I want to go to one of your live shows, you know?
That's good. I think I'm a little bit older than you, so statistically, I'm going to die before you, so you should probably hurry up.
Yeah, I should hurry up. Speaking of hurrying up, we should hurry up the show. So thanks again for watching and listening, and tune in next week where our guests scheduled are Andy and Lydia. And Lydia is also known as Sour Patch Lids. She used to be on Timcast IRL. Oh my God, that's a big story. Anyway, so she's scheduled to come on with Andy, and we're really looking forward to that. So yeah, all right. We will end it there.
The truck's backing up because they're hearing us. I think it's time to end this episode.
And smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like button.
Just break your computer.
And don't forget to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button.
Bye.
Bye.